This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. When the temperatures say it's time to ski, but Mother Nature isn't sending us snow, skiers get a bit frustrated. But alpine skiers can count on ski resorts breaking out the snow guns to make their own. For those who prefer the Nordic version of the sport, not so much. But that might change this year, thanks to a plan that is under development at the Craftsbury Outdoor Center. Paul Bierman is an environmental geologist and a professor in the UVM Geology Department, and he's here to tell us about what's happening to make this a reality. Paul, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you.
All right. Explain the basic concept of what you're doing with this project.
So what we're trying to do is save snow through the summer. This is something that's been done in Europe primarily, a little bit in Quebec, north of us here. But we're trying to take the snow that's either made during the winter at Craftsbury or that nature delivers, put it in a pile, insulate it somehow, and see if we can keep it there so it can be spread back out on the trails in November for people to ski on.
Whose idea of this project was this?
Oh, it's hard to figure out which one of us actually got it started, but myself, an engineer at the University of Vermont, Dick and Judy, who run Craftsbury, some of their racers. I think it just evolved from a lot of days of chatting, especially in November when it doesn't get cold here. They do have snowmaking, but if it's not below freezing, you can't make any snow.
Does the snow have to be buried underground or just piled and covered? How does this work?
Well, we're trying a couple approaches. We actually have two test piles at Craftsbury right now. One of those is man-made snow that was produced out of the snow guns and pushed into a pile. The other is natural snow that was pushed into a pile. We have them now insulated with a thin layer of plastic and 6 to 10 inches of wood chips.
Now, I would think that would heat up and just melt away.
Well, you'd think, except you can have a look and see at some of the photos we have. We put the snow in. Actually, Keith put the snow in early April. We got the wood chips on by the end of April. And we still have about 80% of that snow in those piles. And if you look around the rest of Craftsbury, all the snow is gone. The grass is green and such. So if you dig through that wood chip layer, it's still snow underneath.
Yeah, but it's early summer. I mean, we haven't really been boiling, have we?
No, we haven't. And these are really test piles. So what we're doing between the School of Natural Resources, Department of Geology, and the engineers is coming up with a number of tests this summer. So we have data loggers in and above the snow. We're measuring temperature. And then about every 2 weeks, myself and the master student whose project this is, Hannah Weiss, are going out and using a LIDAR surveying instrument, which in about 3 minutes can probably take a few 100,000 measurements for topography. And then she can generate digital models of the snow piles. And from there, we know exactly the volume. So we're tracking these every other week and how much smaller they're getting. We also have weather stations running there, so we know temperature, wind, humidity. And our goal is to figure out the best way to insulate them so that there will be snow, not this fall, but hopefully next fall.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Now, you mentioned a few places this has been done, I guess, successfully. I mean, is this a normal occurrence in parts of the world?
Absolutely. So in parts of Europe where they need to run World Cup races early in the season for Nordic, they store snow. Sochi stored a lot of snow. North of Quebec City, they store snow. Here, it's a first at such low elevation and such low latitude. And we're really taking a science approach to this. Rather than an empirical approach, we have 14 temperature sensors out there now. We have this LIDAR supported by the National Science Foundation to make the measurements. We're trying to figure out a smart way of doing this in Vermont because it has both economic impacts and it should have climate impacts if we can do this right. It's very inefficient to make snow in November, far more efficient to make snow in the middle of February when it's 10 below. So the goal is to make the snow when it's cold, recapture some of that heat for space heating, store the snow over summer, and then not have to make it in November.
So is there – I don't even know if there's a quality of the stored snow. I mean, is one snow different from another snow that's stored?
It's true. There is. The stored snow is like skiing on April snow here if you are a downhill skier. It's kind of icy, chunky, not the fluffy powder that we all enjoy, but it's snow. It's not mud and it's not grass.
All right. So how much snow do you need to start with to have enough to be able to cross-country ski in November?
So most of the work that's been done, especially the work in Europe, suggests that you should be able to keep 70 to 80% of the snow that you put in a pile over the summer. We're not there yet. The piles we're testing on this summer are very small. They're about 250 cubic yards of snow. Scaled up, we should be at approximately 7,000. And that should give the Craftsbury Center enough to lay out 3 to 5 kilometers of track.
Wow. Doesn't uncovering it, though, and then spreading it out on the trail just mean, boom, it'll be gone? You know, that you can't really protect it then once you put it down on the trail.
You're right. You can't protect it. But by November, the sun angle in Vermont is very low, as we all know. The days are short. the temperatures, while they may not be below freezing, are not far above freezing. And so the agents of melting, the warm, humid air and the warm winds of summer and the bright sunshine are gone. So the experience there is if they can get snow out in November, they don't lose it. It sticks around.
Now tell me more about how it's being monitored now and the equipment that's being used. I find this pretty fascinating.
Sure. So
and don't spare the detail on this.
A couple kinds of monitoring. The temperature monitoring uses these small data loggers made by a company called Hobo. They cost very little compared to most scientific instrumentation. We can monitor two channels of temperature continuously with measurements every minute, every 20 minutes, for about $150. And they're very robust. They read out on my iPhone. And so every couple weeks, we read them out. We have data every 20 minutes, as I say right now, on most of this. So we know the temperature in the wood chips, above the wood chips, at the top of the snow. We have temperature loggers underneath the piles to see if we're cooling the ground. We have temperature loggers in the soil nearby. So we know a lot about temperature. We have two weather stations at the Craftsbury Center that they've been monitoring for years. One of those was another collaborative UVM project with them. And that tells us the wind speed and the humidity, which influence melt, the sunshine, amount of radiation we're getting. The third leg of this is the LIDAR surveying equipment. Most of Vermont has now been mapped by LIDAR out of airplanes, and we have very good topography for Vermont. In this case, it's LIDAR that sits on a tripod. And so Hannah and I can go up in half a day, survey both the piles and have accuracy to the centimeter level of the height of those piles. And that's how she calculates the volumes. And so we know how the snow is shrinking over time.
Now, these are really neat pieces of equipment, really neat sensors. But for the amount of money being spent on the sensors, couldn't you just buy some snow guns, make snow like the mountains do, shoot it down? I mean,
sure.
Yeah.
The sensors, we probably have $1,000 worth of sensors out there. Snow guns cost a lot more than that. They cost the energy to run them. So what we're trying to do here is smart science. In some way, it's service learning too. The student involved did this for undergraduate research at the university. Now she's doing it as a master's. It's a way for us to get involved in the community. And the economic impacts are really large in the Northeast Kingdom of having a place that can run very large ski races, hundreds of people. All those people need someplace to stay, somewhere to eat. So if there is snow on the ground in November and December, it's a big economic plus for the state of Vermont. The other piece we're trying to do is deal with climate change and its impact on winter sports. So I've lived here 25 years, and it's enough to empirically say it's raining more in the winter, it's warmer in the winter. And the science behind that is we're watching the ponds ice up later, we're watching the ponds ice out earlier. It's getting warmer here, and as a winter sports lover myself, we need to deal with it. And this is direct climate change adaptation.
So do you ski, cross-country ski, Nordic?
I do, and I have for many years.
Oh, gosh. Do you race or distance or anything like that? Is this a real passion or just go out casually?
No, it's a real passion. I spent years racing 50-kilometer marathons. I don't go quite that far anymore. I have two kids who race competitively, so it's in the family.
All right. Now, you got to be straight with me, Paul Bierman. You know, you're doing this project. You got two piles of snow. You got them covered. You're monitoring them like crazy. You know, set some odds. I mean, how likely is this to work in Craftsbury, you know, as opposed to, you know, it's working in places north Quebec and,
sure,
you know, in the Nordic countries?
So we were thinking about taking a pool on this, you know. We didn't. My guess is these two piles might make it into late July or early August. They're very small. I think if we scale up by a factor of 25, we refine the insulation, we'll be able to do it.
And you were talking about this, you know, not this year, but next year. So, you know, best case scenario, what will we see at Craftsbury Outdoor Center next year?
So 18 months from now, yeah. November, hopefully you're going to see 3 to 5 kilometers of really beautifully laid out track in the middle of November.
Are you going to be out there skis waxed ready to
go? Of course I'll be out there.
All right. And anything people can do to help with this project? Stay away from the piles, I would assume.
Obviously, stay away from the piles. We should have a website up soon where you can see what we're doing and track how things are going.
Oh, that's very cool. Paul Bierman is an environmental geologist and professor at UVM's geology department. Thanks so much for letting us know about this project.
Thanks for having me.